DealerProcessSecrets.com. Yeah. Yeah, boy. Motorcycle sales, car sales, the finance office.
Central Desking. We're here to talk about it.
BDC. Central Desking University.com.
All right. Let's get into it.
Hey everybody, Philip here. Welcome to Dealer Process Secrets. First thing first, ain't no nation like a donation. Hit that donate button or you can make a donation at our webpage at DealerProcessSecrets.com. We bring this show to you for free. What else is free? Well, my book is free plus shipping at DealershipProcessSecrets.com and my audiobook is totally free for our listeners at PhilipCheatham.com. Use one or two L's and you should get there. Also, our newsletter is free at TheAutomotiveSoftware.com. So if you want to support us, send us a donation, buy a sweatshirt. You can, of course, go pay full retail for my book or audiobook at Amazon and Audible. That supports us too. And of course, as always, going to centraldesking.com and starting your free trial of the Daily Desk, which is free too. But I guarantee if you try and watch my tutorials in there, you'll become a paying customer, which supports us too. And finally, if you want to take your skills to the next level, no matter where you are, the courses I teach at Central Desking University will blow your socks off. So please support us however you can. We are here to bring you exclusive, hard-hitting, real content that will actually help you go harder and higher in your career inside this crazy business we all love so much. And the best way to support us is, of course, by letting others know about us. And you do that by sharing the links, liking us on social media, and, of course, recommending the Daily Desk and Central Desking University to your friends. So we appreciate all your support, and let's get into it.
Welcome to episode 20 of Dealer Process Secrets. Today's episode is three reasons your second face TO process isn't working like it should and how to make it infinitely better. I'm here with my co-hosts Sterling and Brian. What's happening, guys?
What's going on, Phil?
Hey, Phil.
And today we also have a special guest, Tim Schmoker. He's got a lot of finance experience in cars and RVs, and he's going to be on today with us talking about this. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Awesome. Great to have you on the show. So, all right, we're going to get into this. So first thing first, should we be doing a TO is the first question. I guess I'd throw it all you guys and see who wants to jump on that one.
Let's let our guest go first. Tim, what do you think about the second phase TO process in general?
Yeah, I think TO's got to be there. I mean, whether it's a sales associate TO into a manager, a manager after that first TO, TO into again to another manager. I think basically every chain of person in the dealership should kind of talk to a customer before they end up deciding to leave, just in case there's something that somebody could do to interact with that customer or say something in a slightly different way in order to earn their business or figure out what the true objection is as to why they're wanting to leave.
Absolutely. And just, I mean, really just touching them and, you know, how is your experience? I'm going to make an argument that it's a customer service process. And really the argument that I'm going to say is you can never intervene into your sales process too many times to check in on how it's working for your customer. Now you can intervene incorrectly, but I'm going to say you can never intervene. If you think about yourself in a five-star restaurant, five-star hotel, the more times you're touched in a nice way and in a way that's going to help you enjoy your experience more, I think the better off your experience ends up being. So I'm going to argue if you're doing a sophisticated TO and you're doing a TO the way that it should be done, it's actually not just to make sure you make that deal or make every deal. Of course, we should be doing that because we are paying money to get the customer in. And it's crazy on that end, in my opinion, too, as well, to not TO the customer and not see before they leave and to just assume at all times that I've got my guys, you know, getting it and hitting it 100% of the time. And I'm relying on them. And anytime you're relying to make sure something is happening and you're not double checking it somewhere, what happens? And that's just
in the sales business. I know that a lot of people have huge egos and sometimes people view this TO process as like, you're not doing something right. But if you're able to swallow your pride for a moment, it's just an opportunity to get even better. I mean, even the most perfect person can sit back and say, okay, I realize that how I said this cause the customer to be concerned in this specific area. So if you take this as an opportunity to learn and grow, you'll learn and grow. But if you take it as an insult, then you're just going to be upset, mad, and not doing something that's actually going to help you out in the long run. And of course, help out your store.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And actually, I think, you know, there's some parts we'll get into in the three reasons when we talk about that it's got to be a process that's set up so that it's obviously for teaching. And I think there are some aspects there that you're talking about, Sterling, where management might actually do an improper job in making it like, oh, you're weak, so I'm sending him out. And that's not the proper way to run your TO process. If you're running your TO process the right way, everybody's going to get, you know, both sides of the coin at some point, right? I'm going to send you out on Tim's deal. I'm going to send Tim out on your deal. And both of you guys are going to end up closing each other's deal at some point. And if we're all doing that the right way, and I'm not making it a thing where, oh, you got weak and he did this. And I know we have that language in our business and I've used it. I'm not against it. That's not really what I'm talking about, but it's an understanding of why we're TOing. And the biggest thing there is to have a strict process. If you have a strict process, what comes around is going to go around for everybody. And we're all going to see that. And then nobody's really going to think that they're super stronger than another guy anyway. And if you are, you should be teaching that other guy, and it shouldn't be intimidating that other guy too. And that's what happens. This all goes back to building culture. And of course, in my book, I talk about culture is really built out of processes and people knowing what to do. And here's another instance where you've got to have this process set up properly. And we'll go into it on those three points.
Some salespeople might think that not only is an ego thing, but they may think that their customer is going to feel uneasy having another person besides them come in and hard close them.
Yep.
And that's just not the case. I mean, like you said, if you're going in on a standpoint of how can we take care of the customer and assist that customer in getting what they're looking for, then that's a whole different story. But if you send a true hard closer guy that's got all the cockiness in him and that's just what he's doing, maybe that's what rubs in the wrong way. So I could see some salespeople thinking, you know, this isn't my thing. I don't want that going on. At the end of the day, if we're taking care of the customer and we're doing what's right for both the dealership and the customer, everything's going to work out, I'd say, pretty dang close to 100% of the time.
Yep. And I agree 100%. I love everything you said. And that's why you've got the process, which will take the egos and the nonsense and the BS out of it. Yep. If it's expected that every customer is going to get a second face, and the best way to really set up the process isn't even to send another guy out. That should be expected. And you're going to do that. You're going to do that with everybody because people are going to get too busy. But if you're sitting at the sale, if I'm at the sales desk and I've got my closers and my product specialist or my fit specialist the way that I should, my assistant sales managers and the divisional labor set up, when my guy doesn't close a deal, I'm going to go touch this customer. And I'm not going to touch a lot of customers. So I'm going to have a 35-50% closing ratio up there. You know, what am I looking at? 10-20 deals a day. So I'm going to touch 10 customers. And it's you know, talking to them before they go, making sure everything my guy's telling me is accurate. And finding out if there's anything extra that I can do, getting a little piece of extra information. Maybe I will go a little bit deeper. But if this is done really properly, I smelled this happening if I'm not too busy, right? And I went and touched this customer before I saw it happening. And that's where you get from that 35 to that 50% closing ratio. So, and I'm not even huge on saying, oh, my sales managers have to get out of their chair and go talk to everybody. Because if I do have four strong closers and I'm sitting up there and I've got the culture that I like to have, which in my make a deal meeting, we're literally all talking back and forth to each other about what we just went through recently, objections we just had. We're pitching each other our first pencils, right? So we know each other's closes. We know each other's talent level. We know what we're capable of doing. We're all trying to help each other get better. So when I'm have that culture and I'm sitting there and Sterling comes and he can't close it, and I go, okay, can I send Tim out on it? Sterling's going to be like, oh yeah. And he's going to tell Tim everything about the deal. that's the, I've created this culture. So you can create a totally different culture from the one that, you know, we've brought up, which is we've all seen, in that negative culture, but you can create it totally differently where, you know, if you're using the make a deal meeting, you're using the first pencil pitches, you're creating that camaraderie, and then, you know, you're all helping each other because, and hot sheet actually is another thing that creates camaraderie. I've got so many tricks that I've already given away that do this, and, but it all boils down to processes. So, and it, you know, that's what we're going to get into on these three points. But Sterling, you got anything else on that?
Yeah, I think it was a great example you gave there. Like building that culture is what allows you to ask me if Tim can go, you know, and try to close my deal and be that second person, because you know the answer is going to be yes. If you didn't do a good job building that culture and you ask me, I'm going to think that I can say no, and I'm going to say no, and then we're going to have a problem on our hands because it's just not, that relationship and that culture is not there, like you said.
And you can still be competitive. Sterling worked with me, knows I'm super competitive. I believe in, you know, bonuses. I believe in pay. I believe in awarding your top people. I don't believe in, you know, I believe in giving your, I give all of my cheese deals, or if I have anything like that to give away, or I don't believe in 100% easy deal, but if I do, you know, the easier deals to give away.
Phil did help me while being very competitive. I will acknowledge that.
Thank you.
He was consistently taking the first spot in the department, but I don't feel like he was holding back and like telling me how we did it. He wasn't doing it in secret. He was like, this is how I did it. And then he did it. So it
goes back to the culture, but should we be TOing? I think that's an obvious to get into the sales aspect of it. I don't think we talked about that, just to touch on that before we finish, is an absolute duh, in my opinion. I mean, on the money end, on, so I've already made the argument. It's a customer service issue. You can't touch your customer too much if you do it properly. But on the end of the money and the closing the deals, I mean, if you've got the product specialist and the closer system set up, usually your product specialist wants it to get TO'd because they're thinking the deal's not closing because of that closer, right? And then once you've got the good culture, the closer that can't close it, if he's really running into a wall and trying everything he can, eventually all of us get to the point of, yeah, please, man, see if I'm doing something wrong, and handing over that deal. So culture, and I was trying to talk about, you know, should we do it? I don't know if there's really that much to talk about there. It's a no-brainer. The customer's here. How could you not want to make sure that you're touching them one more time before they leave, if they spent a good amount of time looking at and entertaining buying one of the vehicles on your lot? That's crazy. All right. So the first point's going to be, you don't have any consistency. This is just like everything else. So we're talking about building a process. Great processes will always turn into habits your management team loves. If you've read my book, Dealership Process Secrets, or listened to me talk about a variety of different processes, you've heard me talk about your team having directions and how important this is to their job satisfaction, their efficiency, and the results of this being your customer satisfaction. So when you know what to do, when your guys know what to do, when it's all a process and we're all TOing and everything, what happens? Your customer's more satisfied. Because we can go back into this when you've got the guy at the desk that doesn't want to get TO'd and you're like, I need to make this deal. And I smell something's going on here, but I haven't built the right culture. So I've got to TO this deal, but the sales guy is mad about it. So you can't have consistency in anything we don't expect to happen, and we don't train and we don't implement. If you don't have consistency in your second phase TO process, at best you have organized chaos, right? So going back to the customer satisfaction point that I was making, which is if your salespeople, and this happens in a lot of different scenarios, not just this TO, but you know, your salespeople all of a sudden get upset about something internal. This could go back to the split deals, right? This is why I don't like the split deal policies, and I'm totally against split deals. Whoever closes it gets it. So that way you've got one guy in a corner crying and you can tell him to go away if your customer is going to see him, right? Rather than a fight happening at the sales desk. And I'm serious. So, you know, you've got basically two guys upset now or three guys upset now or a guy TOing a deal. The customer is going to feel that. So now your TO is a total waste. And that was not a sophisticated TO and that was not a good TO when your customer knows that your salesperson is mad that somebody else came out and tried to close them, right? You've got to actually have that TO is not even going to work. So you've got to actually have your sales guy already teed up wanting a TO, wanting to close every deal, right? Knowing that that's the process and everything else. So, I mean, to even have a good TO, you've got to have consistency. You've got to have this process that I talk about. So love to hear anybody with any thoughts on that.
I was just going to say, I totally agree. It's got to be something that they know is going to happen before it happens. So they are not, you know, there's no emotion in it.
Yeah. For the salespeople. Yeah. They've definitely got to know. So Tim, did you have something?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it can kind of go back to what we all learned as the road to the sale. You know, I mean, there, if you're following a very strict order of processes that you have to do every single time, your chances of closing a deal and then keeping customers satisfied and happy go tremendously.
Yeah,
way a lot more farther. I mean, I had a guy who, when I first got in the car business, this is an old timer, and he would literally, after every single sale, go back, pull out the road of the sale, and sit there and one by one, what did I miss? How could I have gotten better? What did, you know, he would like jump down the steps and he said, did I do this? Did I, every deal. This old guy was just, you know, Ed Williams is his name, and he was awesome, but he's the guy that just really ingrained that in me. That you have to follow that process 100%. And, you know, if you're doing it, I mean, he had a 90% closing ratio. There's a reason for that. So,
yeah, that's why we came up with the slogan, Got Step 5. Step 5 is really where the daily desk and our software starts. So it's at the negotiation. That's the pivotal middle point of the sale for me. It's really the first close. Is getting to the negotiation table. You've got to close them on even looking at the numbers, on even entertaining buying, right? So once you've got them there, you've completed the first half of the sales process, right? So now it's that second half. So that old guy knew what he was doing big time. And I love that. But yeah, the key point here, I think that we touched on is, you know, without processes and without expectations and different things, not just on this TO topic that we're talking about, but split deals and all these other things. If guys know what they're doing, you end up with this seamless process, right? And expectations of what people are supposed to do is seamless, and everything just ends up happening. And you've got this well-oiled machine instead of guys at the sales desk arguing. Your customer knows. I mean, if you look at, I love to gauge off of my dog, right? When I get a little bit upset or anxious about something, my dog notices. You know, we all feel that in each other. So when your guys are getting upset there, it rubs off on your customer. That's when the TO becomes tacky and poor. All right. So we're going to end it there and we will continue this discussion on Wednesday. So to hear the rest of this episode, please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform to make sure you hear it as soon as it's released. See you guys next time.
Thank you guys.
DealerProcessSecrets.com. Yeah. Yeah, boy. Motorcycle sales, car sales, the finance office. Central Desking, we're here to talk about it.
BDC, Central Desking University.com.
All right, let's get into it.